When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Go Utes! Welcome to the Utah Football Fans Podcast. We have football games to talk about. There you go. James is figuring out the live session.
Technical difficulties, but he's back.
He's back.
Confusing.
We've got it figured out. Welcome. We're so excited to talk about our game against Florida, which was a blast. Before we do, please make sure you like and subscribe if you haven't already. Please give us an awesome review. We would so appreciate it. And follow along on all of our social media sites. And a huge thank you to our sponsor, Thomas Orthodontics. And he stopped by our tailgate last week, which was so fun. He's such a great supporter. We appreciate him so much. Please look him up at thomasortho.com. And to start off, we want to talk about our tailgate. And thank you to all of you who came. That was so fun to meet a bunch of you, get to just chat about football, Utah football, Gator Zone. Thank you so much Gator for Zoned. The support.
That's a, it takes a lot, man.
That's a great Gator fan. Thank you. We do want to thank our sponsors for the tailgate as well. Sugar House Distillery gave us their canned cocktails, which were a huge hit.
I warned a couple people to drink just one, but he didn't listen
to me.
No,
he did not.
He didn't listen, but he said that they were fantastic. And they do sell those locally.
I'm not sure that he saw the rest of the game, though, after he
drank
those.
Yeah, I don't know.
There were a couple. I'm feeling okay. I think I'll go for a second one. No. All right. Do what you want.
He was feeling real good. But, yes, they do sell. Sugar House Distillery sells here locally.
Yeah.
So you can buy them in stores here locally. Gaetano Subs, which the sandwiches were awesome. Amazing.
Oh,
so amazing. Good. And they're located on State Street and about 1600 South. And then Nothing Bundt Cakes, and those cakes went quick. They're located in Foothill Village. Make sure you stop by, and they are selling those in the stadium. So I want to know if anyone bought one in the stadium.
Let us know, because I had about 2/3 of the ones that they gave us at the tailgate, because they are unbelievable.
They are fantastic.
Unbelievable.
So make sure you...
Dan Bartholomew, Hey, Dan, did you drink a couple of them?
Dan's just now realizing it's Monday. And,
I mean, I feel bad because there were so many of you. I wish I could say by name every one of you that was there, but thank you so much for coming. It really was so fun to meet you and just chat Utah football with all of you.
It was a good time.
It was a blast.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had a good time. And I'll say this, we had, I think, a decent number of Florida fans who were coming by our tailgate. Mm-hmm. And they came in, had sandwiches and some drinks, and we chatted and talked. We had a great time meeting a bunch of Florida fans. It was good. I mean, no hostility. You know, it's fun banter back and forth that we had
yeah.
with them. But it was great. I mean, we met a couple of guys. I wish I could remember their name. I know at least one guy was from Kentucky. Mm-hmm. Were they both from Kentucky?
I think both those guys were from Kentucky.
But they choose a game, they said, every year to go to. It's not one of their teams, yeah. And they chose this game to come. And we sat around and talked football. It was great, man. It was fun. And it was a beautiful day.
Yeah, it was great. I talked to a couple. There was a couple of Florida guys that were just kind of hanging out by a light post. Invited them over, and they had some sandwiches. It was great. And they brought up a good point that I hadn't thought of before, but there was a lot of Florida fans. I bet there was 8,000 Florida fans, roughly.
That many?
Yeah. When you consider that section, plus then throughout the stadium, there were pockets of blue here and there. But the guy said, he goes, there's going to be a lot of Florida fans because we don't get the opportunity to travel outside of our region very often. All the games that are out of conference, they come to us or it's the neutral site. And then you've got your conference game, so they don't get it. So when they found out that there was a chance to go west and go to Utah, they were all about it. So they had been there for a few days, had done some of the fun stuff. Unfortunately, that wildfire had pushed in, but they had a great time. They were really enjoying it.
It was a beautiful night. You know, a little hot until the sun went down behind the stadium.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it was toasty.
It was warm.
It was toasty, but it was sure a beautiful atmosphere. Rice Eccles was rocking.
Yeah.
It got going.
Take long for the stadium to roll either. That was the best part.
So I listened to...
right from the very beginning, yeah. Right from the get-go.
So Josh Pate was there.
Yeah.
And he had great things to say about the venue, the facility, the fans, the game. I listened to a guy today who is a Colorado guy. He's Matt McChesney's his name.
Was he at the game?
Uh-huh.
Really?
He was at the game. I think his son or some son and another player were there checking us out.
Interesting.
In other words,
okay.
And he said Rice Eccles was rocking, and I listened to some guys today that had some great things to say about Utah and the facility and whatever. I just think I would hope that everybody, whether Utah fans or Florida fans, had a good time. Now I understand when you lose, it's only so much fun. Yeah. We've all been there, but
we've been there plenty of times.
Oh yeah, the seismograph.
Yeah, that was cool.
Yeah, anybody who hasn't heard that, so there's a seismograph station at the University of Utah, yeah. So they measure that activity. And during, especially that first part of the game, on Florida's first drive, so our defensive stop, it measured like a small little earthquake. Yeah. And then Utah's 70-yard touchdown, it measured a lot of activity that actually would be considered a small, tiny little earthquake.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. You could see the lines and then the lines
spikes. Yeah. Yeah. It was crazy.
The stadium was packed. And I will give this to Utah fans. More people were in their seats before kickoff. It was very difficult to get to your seats.
Yeah. What was that?
I just think everybody, because of Thursday,
everybody got there the same time.
Yeah. Not as spread out as much because of work and other stuff. Yeah, I believe, yeah. I mean that, I don't know. I'm just,
it was so hard, especially for those of us in the North Concourse area. It was like, but shout out to,
I thought I was going to pass out, man.
The man I met in the North Concourse. I'm sorry. I don't remember your name. I think your wife's name was Gabby, but she was homesick.
Gabby.
So she missed the game. I know. I feel bad, but shout out to you. And thanks for saying hi while we were packed in there like sardines.
That was insane.
Trying to get to our seats, but
I actually went in two tunnels early because I was, and then I just skipped over the seats because it was so crazy.
A lot of people did that.
Yeah.
That was smart, but okay, let's talk game. First of all, like I've always said, as far as Florida football goes, I have great respect for Florida football. I did last year when we went there and got beat. I still have great respect for the team and the program and the history. I mean, come on. I can see why their fan base is not happy. Oh. Because when you're a team that's at the pinnacle and fighting at the pinnacle and all that stuff,
yeah.
And then it diminishes, it would be extremely hard. But yeah, I would hope someday, somehow that we could get to that level at a consistent, on a consistent basis. So having said that, I don't know. I have a great respect for Florida. Now, just as far as leading into this game, I mean, I don't disrespect Florida at all. And I understand the talent they have. But going into the game, for me, I legitimately believed we were going to win the game. I wasn't trying to be a homer. I just felt like Utah had the talent. Now, we talked to different guys, different podcasts, different interaction on social media, and they discounted some of the things that we said. And, you know, fine, that's fair enough. I'm good with that. But so my prediction was 28-24. I missed it.
Yeah, a little bit.
But I still truly believed that we were going to win. So am I excited to beat Florida and to beat an SEC team and all that talent, all the things that are involved in that? Absolutely, man. I'm jacked up about it. However, I'm not ecstatic because I expect us to win that game. I felt like we were going to win, and we took care of business and did what we should have done. So all the stuff I said leading up to the game and expressed to people, I believed to be true. And I think it played out exactly, in many ways, the way I thought it was going to play out.
Well, okay. I thought Cam Rising was going to play. So I had a lot of confidence based off of that. And then obviously the news drops 24 hours before kickoff. What was your feeling once you found that out, that Cam is not going and that it's going to be Barnes? Were you still confident? Did you still have that obviously that level of confidence wouldn't be as high, but where were you on that?
No, I was certainly more worried. There's no question about it.
Yeah.
When that finally came down, however, what worried me more is when I started to realize the guys that weren't in the game.
Besides just the quarterback.
Besides,
yeah,
Rising and Keithy. Then I started realizing other stuff. But, I mean, everyone talks and says this, we got this, we got this. But just knowing our team and the depth that, you know, I feel like I knew that we had, I felt okay that we were going to be okay. And as soon as the game started to play, it just reinforced it. So, no, I'm excited. But, man, dude, I'm not jumping. I don't feel like I just won the national championship because we beat Florida. I mean, no way, man. This is the first game of the season. Excited to beat a quality program and a quality team.
Yeah.
It went our way. It went our way. We won. But it's the first game.
Get your applause button ready.
Oh.
I would like it.
Hold up. Where is it?
Where's your applause button?
Okay, go.
I was the only one that said Cam Rising wasn't going to play.
Wow. Oh.
I also, if you recall...
Okay.
I said I think we will do a duo quarterback situation.
Well, yeah, that was given.
You said no. We're not going to do that.
Johnson was.
He was going to get duo quarterback is 50-50.
Give me the clapping. Give me.
If it makes you feel better.
And.
There. Half a clap.
Half a clap. That's
and
all she gets.
My score prediction was
really close.
24-14. So with Florida, if you had just kicked that field goal at the end, I would have been spot on. Give me a clap again for that.
No,
yes,
don't.
I get, thank you.
That's good
oh
enough.
Oh my gosh.
That's good enough.
I just had to put that out there. I deserve those accolades because I was right on all those
things. True. When you said Florida scoring 14, I was like, no, they got too many guys. I thought that they would put up 21 at least. But the way the game just kind of went, it just... Yeah, they had errors. I understand that. Both teams didn't. It wasn't the cleanest game. It never is in the first game of the year. But what's crazy is just how well Utah's defense played, minus the guys that you're talking about. I mean, we had, five defensive starters didn't play. And then the first series, Reed gets hurt with his shoulder, and I don't think I saw him again. Like, the defense looked really, really good. And one thing that I'll say is, yeah, Mertz threw for, 300-plus yards. Irrelevant. Irrelevant. Where were the yards thrown? Between the 20 and the 20. As soon as it got down to, okay, they can't score, they didn't score. So that is an irrelevant stat. Don't care about it. And the run stopping was unbelievable. It was great.
So after the game, I was talking to Jesse. You know, we were walking and talking, and after this game and playing with, you know, Barnes and Johnson and all the injuries, all this stuff, we can name the guys who weren't there, which is, I think, important to know. But having said all that, and knowing how Witt, all of us are Utah fans, knows how Utah plays football, particularly when there's issues to be dealt with, like with injuries. And after that game was over and we just beat them, it was like classic Utah victory under the circumstances. It felt like I've seen this game a million times. Many, many a team has lost just like this.
Yeah.
And so when I would watch or listen to Florida guys after the game, they were quoting all these stats and all these kinds of things. And I get it. It's a tough loss for them. But I don't think people really truly understand sometimes how Whittingham just out-coaches and outplays them. Once we went up 24-3.
Game was over.
It was 24-3 in the first part of the third quarter after the interception.
Yeah.
And from that point on, they gained a lot of yards, going to what you said. So these yards accumulated. But you know what? Witt didn't. Did he want us to score? Absolutely. But what he was not going to do is press the issue. So when the offense sputtered or made some stupid mistakes, the thing is, if we did a drive or two, we would kill the clock. Or it would take time.
Yep.
And then punt it, which our punter dude averaged like 50 yards a punt. He controlled the field. And so then they would have to, and this is the part with Florida. I mean, Florida fans, you can tell me what you think, but there was not any urgency for them. And so,
yeah.
And so they may move the ball and all the short stuff and go down the field, but it was playing right into Whittingham's hands, dude.
If they're going to score, if they're going to take 8 minutes to do it.
Yeah.
And there's only so many drives left in the game when you run like that. So Whittingham's going, they have to have three possessions. The fourth quarter just started. Yeah, they can gain those yards as long as we tackle, which we were doing a great job at tackling.
Missed four tackles.
That's wild. Last year, we missed four tackles on the opening drive.
Missed four tackles the whole game.
That's crazy.
We missed 28 last year.
Yeah, that's unbelievable. So great job on the defense. Cole Bishop, by the way, a couple of people have said, monster game. Played
he
out
was
of
everywhere.
Like he's and yeah, well, this yeah. is how Whittingham wins football games. You're right. If we could have scored again, he would have taken it. But he's not going to risk it just to get another touchdown and turn the ball over and then momentum changes. No. We'll take it down to the 50. We'll punt it, make you go 90-plus yards, and take 8 minutes off the clock. And before you know it, the game's over, and we win.
Well, one of the things we talked about and brought up kind of in conversations with Florida fans, and they sort of poo-pooed us, but was that we felt like the defense was going to be even better this year.
And
we kept saying it. We kept saying the defense is going to be improved, so watch out for that. Absolutely they are, and we're missing however many defensive stars. I mean, it was a ton of big-name guys. And yeah, we missed 28 tackles last year, only missed four. Florida ran for like 280 yards last year, and they ran for 13
this year rushing yards. Now, sacks are accumulated into that.
I get that, but even if you take away the sacks.
Go look at this.
It was like 38 yards or something like that. Like, it was nothing.
It was very old school Utah football in the years when it'd be so frustrating we had no offense.
We wanted offense.
Which our offense struggled. I'm not going to pretend that it didn't.
But you got your second and third string quarterbacks
in. It was
in.
Good. I get that. It was good.
The second
they
half.
Did what they had to do. The second half stalled out.
It stalled out.
Like, look, birds of prey, I'm with you. Coach to win the game. But he's looking at it going, I'm down eight starters. I'm down my starting quarterback. The best tight end in the country, arguably, is gone. My two interior defensive linemen are out of the game. I just lost a linebacker. And I'm up 21 points as the fourth
O'Toole
quarter starts.
Didn't play.
And O'Toole didn't play.
O'Toole didn't play. Reed went out in the first quarter.
And losing Reed is huge because he's like the play caller for the
defense.
Yeah,
he's the captain of the defense. So he's the one that gets people in position. And I noticed a couple times that there was struggles there. Barton did a great job filling in. But play four quarters. But when you can look at it, and they didn't score their first touchdown till 6 minutes left in the game, something like that. Yeah. So the defense played great. The offense did.
Held Florida one touchdown.
One touchdown. Florida, one touchdown. And by the way, insane catch by that dude. That's,
yeah.
Props, man.
That catch holy was
cow,
crazy.
Just went up and just took it from the guy. It was great.
Yeah, Vaughn was there, but that was wild.
It congratulations was on that.
A great catch, but it's... yeah, I mean, so we had, and by appearance, and we even mentioned it during the game, but it's true that Jackson re-aggravated an injury, so he wasn't full speed.
Yeah.
We don't have Cam Rising. So last year, just to remind everybody, we averaged 38 points a game last year.
Yeah, we were top 10 in almost every offensive category.
And so we didn't have Cam, and we don't have Keithy, who's, like what you said, he's one of the top tight ends, obviously when he's healthy. And then all these defensive players are two tackles. O'Toole, probably our best edge rusher. But hey, man, Ellis and Fillinger.
Ellis.
Dude, two sacks. The best sack, though, I forgot his name, man, is the interior lineman that ran bear hugged like him and put Mertz down.
Yeah. Right. Well, we had five sacks. We sacked him five times in
and
one
we
game.
We said before the game, the offensive line is going to be a challenge for Florida. Utah's defensive line is their strength, even missing two to three of their best players. Their defensive line is their strength. Florida, yeah, they've got the dudes, but that mesh wasn't there, and it showed. That was one of the big differences in the game.
It's Tanuvasa, Pac-12 Pilgrim, but I don't think that's the guy you're thinking of. Tanuvasa did have a sack, but I know which one you're talking about, and I don't think that was him.
I'm not sure now.
I know which one you're talking about. He just stopped and then bear hugged him. Landed right on him. But can we talk about Barnes for just a second?
Yeah, let's talk about Barnes.
Oh, absolutely.
Talk about Barnes because, of course, the big
talk
question.
Talk about both of the QBs.
Yeah, both the QBs. I do think Barnes looked better to me. Johnson had his moments, but Johnson looked like a freshman. Barnes... I mean, that first play of the game, of course, if it doesn't go your way, you're kind of going, what was that? But the way it all played out.
Well, everyone and their mom expected a handoff to Jackson. Buddy I was with turned and goes, all right, we're just going to hand it off and game manage it. Everyone in the stadium thought that.
When he threw it, I thought it was for sure going to get picked.
Barnsley,
oh,
baby.
That was so pretty. And then Money. Love
Parks.
That name. Money Parks.
We got to get him
yards.
More involved.
I did almost pass out. I mean...
Well, yeah, the place exploded.
I don't think, I didn't look this up, but we've never scored on the first play of the game,
I can't imagine,
right?
Utah has ever scored on the first play.
I don't think so.
Of,
I mean, I can't be sure.
Game, much less the season. I mean, 70-yard bomb.
Barnes, to me, he looked comfortable, I felt like.
Yeah.
He made some good throws. He doesn't have the legs that Rising does.
No.
But then Johnson... has that speed, and then Johnson, his passes looked a little... So it is. It's those two together. Yeah. You've got one who's a passer, one who's a runner, but...
Johnson's a freshman, by the way.
I know. Well, he looked it, I
he's
felt.
A freshman.
Like.
I'm not... Yeah, I agree to some level, not maybe to the level.
I don't feel like he looked as comfortable.
But, okay,
of course,
yeah,
it's against Florida, so...
Florida, and that playing, touchdown run he had was...
His runs...
Unreal.
It was just he dropped the ball here or there, or there was a penalty, and it set him back, and Ludwig wasn't going to press the issue because we were up 24-3.
True.
Right.
Yeah.
That's what it was.
It was cool to see that our running back room, man, they just cycled through that, and then when Jackson went out, it was just, okay, Glover, you're in now.
Bernard,
you're in now, and they just rolled. The running back room is deep, and Curry didn't even play. That's what's crazy. I don't think I saw him on the field at all.
No.
So it was.
I don't know. Yeah,
it was beautiful.
I mean, offense is the big question mark. I think moving forward, obviously, and with Cam Rising, we don't know, but.
And I think our field goal kicker did well.
He did well. He was in a tough spot.
He hit a
50.
51, I think.
And then
he
missed
one
by a foot.
It was. It had the distance. It just missed left.
Becker.
It was. So I don't know. A lot of good, but no one in their right mind. I don't know, some guys were getting on me anyway, online. Acting as if we won the national championship and you're not that good. And on and on. And you know what? No one is saying we won the national championship. And no one says this is as good as we're going to be. That was the first game, and we blew through a bunch of some adversity and still played a pretty good football game against, I still think, a good football team. That's, I don't know. Any other stats of interest? I mean, the fact is, oh, I pulled this up off of, where was it? Florida. Now I can't find what I had written down. It wasn't until, well, they were 1-for-13.
Third downs?
On third downs.
Yeah. They didn't get a third down until fourth quarter,
right? It was a fourth quarter.
That's wild.
Yeah, the whole first half they didn't complete a third down, and then they had a couple of fourth down conversions, but they failed on a couple of fourth down conversions
as
well.
Two for five fourth downs, 1-for-13. Here's the stat. Yeah. I didn't notice it. This is from SEC Sports. Florida totaled only 8 yards in the second quarter.
That's crazy.
Averaging 0.7 yards per play. The Gators were also 0-for-9 on third down before finally converting one early in the fourth quarter.
So fourth quarter until they got a third down conversion.
So
that's
the defense was good. Honestly, with Mertz, I was surprised that the dude threw 44 times.
Yeah, I am too.
When their strength is supposed to be their two running backs.
I heard Etienne,
and
what's his name? I just had it.
Johnson.
Up.
All right, someone. If I don't know. I was just surprised at the balance of it. It just didn't happen, man. They threw a ton and a lot of shorter stuff for most of the game.
Well, before the game, we kind of talked about that whoever ran the ball better would win the game. And I had heard a whole bunch about this two-headed monster of Florida, right?
They do have talent.
The best running back duo in the country.
Best running back duo in the country. Great offensive line, the talent's deep, all these things, and then they just could not run the ball. And it wasn't that they just abandoned the run and then just said we're gonna win this game throwing it. It's that Utah made them abandon the run, and then they got down so many points that it was like we can't afford to run the ball, so we have to throw it. And that plays right into what Whittingham wants to do. If we could make Mertz beat us with his arm, by all means, have at it.
Yeah, Etienne had 25 yards.
Gator Zone is asking if any other visiting team has brought oxygen to the sideline.
I'm sure
a lot of them have.
I mean, I'd do it.
I mean,
you ever use one of those?
Uh-uh.
No. Anybody ever use one? I've seen them in like line at CVS or something. I've always wanted to try it.
It seems like it would jolt you. I don't know.
I've had the nasal cannula where you breathe in the 100% oxygen, yeah. But that's about it.
I don't know. And again, I don't know if that played a huge difference in the game. I really don't know. I think maybe it affected some dudes, but I don't think it was like the deciding factor or whatever.
Deciding
we
factor.
Talked about that prior to the game as well. But
yeah. So anyway, well done.
That was a fun game.
But it's game one.
Perspective.
I'll take it.
Perspective.
It's all about perspective. I mean, it's game one. We have to improve like everybody else does. I mean,
yeah.
It's a good win. But hey, there's work to be done. And now we're up to Baylor. Any initial thoughts heading to Baylor?
Man, I was a little worried about Baylor going on the road. And then they get beat over the weekend.
I'm still worried. I'm not going to discount
I'm still worried.
It.
It's on the road, and it's going to be like 90-something degrees in Waco, Texas.
It's going to be like 110 degrees or something is what everyone
keeps
saying.
It's going to be a factor for everybody.
It's going to be
Yeah, because
hot.
You're there in the middle of the day.
I know. The kickoff is 10 o'clock our time.
So 11 o'clock in Texas.
It's a rough
So
kickoff.
You're sitting there from 11 to like 3 in just the blazing. That's going to be so hot.
I
prayers to all of you who are
if
going.
If anyone's going.
That is so hot.
Wish I was going though, man.
I wish I was going too. Two things. Those cool rags.
Yeah.
Take those. Those are incredible.
Neck fans.
And the neck fan. Buy a neck fan on Amazon.
Are they? It's like you're blowing hot air onto you.
No,
after a while.
When you combine it with the wet towel, they're great. They're great. So, I don't know. They played Texas State and lost.
I get it.
But, and their starting quarterback is out. If you didn't see that, their starting quarterback is out for a couple of weeks. So, I don't know. I'm feeling much better. But road games early in the year against an opponent you're supposed to beat tends to give us issues traditionally.
And we don't know about Cam. Supposedly he's in full practice now. Like he's been cleared to fully practice. Whether or not he actually is, I don't know. I still think he won't play. Because I don't know why you need him to.
Yeah, that's how I feel.
This game, of course, we want to win.
If you can beat, if you can win this game without him, you do it. I mean, we just beat Florida without him.
Yeah. If they assess, and I don't think we're going to see Cam or Keithy. If
agreed,
I just think if they can assess that, just say you know Cam could go if they really wanted to, but is it? Maybe there's some wisdom to hold him. If they can look at it and go, I think we can win with the two guys we've got and our team. I think they hold him because they'll hold him for this game, and they would hold him for the Weber State game.
I think you
that's,
play
that's
him,
freaking 3 weeks.
You play
of more healing
a little bit during the Weber State, just so that he gets in that game mode. Practice is one thing,
maybe,
but if he's healthy enough, you bring him in, play him a half. We know we can win with Barnes. I was one of the biggest question people on Barnesy. I was really worried about it. He shut me up. I'm with Bryn. I think he had some really good throws and he looked comfortable in the offense. And if we can beat Baylor, which we should be able to, they lost to Texas State, we should be able to win.
Thank you, Christopher Haymond, a USC fan.
He must not have heard what Bryn has said multiple times.
Oh, he's heard. We apologize. We're sorry, but...
Thank you. Yeah, that says a lot. You know what? That's
we're also
huge.
Only favored by 6 points, by the way.
It was 6.5, what I saw.
So, Rose just said 6. It's fluctuated between 7 and 6. The home team gets 3, so it's 9. And if we can't beat them by more than 9...
I'm not discounting anything. I just...
Yeah, I'm not saying to give me by
I get
any means.
That they... They didn't look great. Their defense looked bad, but Texas State's defense didn't look great either. I don't know.
It's Texas State,
but
though.
I get it. But that could be such a weird throwaway game, and then we have to travel there. It's always when you have to travel somewhere.
I'm gonna look up the weather.
Throws
okay,
a huge
their quarterback
wrench into it.
Is out.
Quarterback
Chapin?
Is out.
Is it Chapin? I think I think that's how you say it. He's done 2 to 3 weeks MCL strain. The backup QB is Mississippi State. Transfer.
Okay.
Sawyer Robertson. He was a 4-star. Supposed to be good, but he hasn't played.
A 4-star kid?
He hasn't played.
Wow. Okay. See, those are the things that make me nervous.
but he hasn't played,
dude.
Kick our butts.
I know, but all of a sudden this guy comes in and he's just throwing the ball over the place.
Not against our defense, though.
But. Well,
their offensive line.
Now, I'll just say this. Do we all remember that the offensive coordinator for Baylor Bears is Grimes, the dude that was the OC for the Zoobs?
Yeah, I remember that.
And so their offense has multiple formations. You can run it. So you can run multiple plays off a certain formation. I think there's like a lot of crossing stuff, all this kind of stuff. But I think they had to replace most of their offensive line, which they brought two dudes over, forgot their names now, from BYU. So two transfers, their brothers from BYU.
Really?
Are now on the O-line there. So they lost their QB, and I think it was their starting...
Starting safety.
Starting safety.
Dislocated elbow. He's
out for a while.
Ooh, that sounds painful.
So... Look.
Is that like hitting your funny bone? Is that what he said?
I don't take anything for granted. No. I don't take anything for granted. I'm not saying, oh, yeah, this is an absolute, but ESPN has us like at 74% to win.
Yeah.
Their QB out.
Yeah.
They do have a new line. All this stuff, and a rookie QB up against
our defense.
Our defense.
Which we might have some guys who didn't play against Florida. They might be ready to go.
I would give us a good shot if we play solid football, nothing stupid, and no mistakes. That was one thing with Florida. We made no mistakes.
No, we won the turnover battle.
As far as turnovers go.
And our punt game was incredible. Pinned them deep. So you replicate that formula. I think we absolutely should win this game. Weirder things have happened. Though, I mean, it's like someone said in the chat, if we can come out of this 2 Power Five conference, out of conference wins. You're 3-0 going into conference play. Yeah, let's go.
John W., you are right, though. That is the benefit of that we played on Thursday. We've had 10 days, or they will have 10 days to recover. Hopefully we get especially those defensive guys back. But even without them, I'm confident in our defense. It's our offense. We just don't know.
But I'm actually confident.
You're confident.
After the last game, to get the job done against Baylor.
To win.
Because it's also difficult for them to prepare fully for two different quarterbacks, two different offenses.
That's true.
And, I mean, you get Barnes in there, the more traditional guy, and we just saw him. He can throw the ball.
Yeah.
He can play. Nothing stupid. He can run it that way. But then you bring in Johnson, and the guy is electric. If they're not careful, that dude's going to bust a 50-yarder.
Bird of prey, you asked if Reed's coming back. We don't know. They didn't comment.
Quit
didn't comment on it. It seemed like he got hit in the back of the head when he went out.
It was up here somewhere.
It's concussion protocol.
I think it was concussion.
Oh, interesting.
Because they said head injury. Okay. So if that's what it was, I would hope that it wasn't severe enough so that he will come back and play. But we don't know. It hasn't been said.
So Baylor, they gave up 400 and what was it? How many yards they give up? Total yards, 441. Baylor, see, the thing is, Baylor gained 524 yards.
Really?
Uh-huh. Yeah. They threw the ball all over the freaking
place. They had so many yards.
They got close to the end to coming back.
They couldn't stop Texas State. That was the biggest thing.
416 through the air, Baylor. Now, that dude's gone.
The quarterback's out. Okay.
So, come on. That should be an advantage. Just being realistic about it, they rushed for 108 yards.
Okay.
But Baylor gave up 143, and they gave up 298 through the air. I'm just saying, I'm picking Utah on this game. We should do it. But, man, hey, you never know in these early games.
Right. That's how I feel, too. I feel Utah's going to win. It's just one of those these games freak me out because it's expected to win. We should go in there and win. Everything says that Utah should win. The way we played last week, we should go in and win.
Yeah.
And sometimes those are ones that you lose. So
those are the Northern Illinois games that you go to, and all of a sudden you'll win by half a score, and you go, that was painful. You know, it doesn't feel like a win.
I don't see it happening, man. Yeah.
So, I don't know. The thing about it is it should set a good tone, though, because it's against a future conference rival. So both conferences are going to be watching this game. Big 12 had a rough weekend this last weekend. Yeah. Multiple losses in games that they were all super favored in. So I think the expectations of a lot of these schools have come down dramatically after week one. But it's a big game for Utah. You go, you say, hey, Big 12, we're coming for you next year. Here's the evidence of it. And you set yourself up to go 3-0 now headed into our conference schedule. It's a very, very big game, especially considering you just beat Florida. You can beat Florida. You should be able to beat Baylor. But matchups, it's all about matchups. We talk about it all the time.
Absolutely.
So the Pac-12, I did see someone on the chat mention this, so let's mention it. The Pac-12, as of right now, is 13-0.
That's so wild.
Meaning, because last week we were, the first week we were 12-0. SC played
San Jose State.
Week zero. So the Pac-12 is 13-0. I was listening to a guy today.
It's depressing, actually.
Coach JB is saying, as of right now, the Pac-12 is from top to bottom.
It is
from the teams through the that go throughout the entire league, not the top heavy leagues that win. You know, they go to the playoffs. Right. But from top to bottom, he says the Pac-12, in his mind right now, is the best league in the country. And I think there's a massive argument to be made for that. At least, and the guy he was talking to said, at least second as of right now. And because you're looking at the Colorado thing and just other stuff, you're going, wow, man, the Pac-12 with Colorado, they were discounted out.
Yeah.
So now you have to throw them in the mix with everybody else. It's going to be fascinating because everybody was saying, well, Colorado's an automatic win, so chalk that up, win. This is a win. Right. That is not anymore. No.
They woke us all up, didn't they?
It is. They're right in the mix. But so this week.
Hi, tall guy.
Hey, is tall guy in?
Stanton. He's in the chat. Tall guy.
Hey, man. Welcome. good to hear from you. So here is the. And throw out your impressions of these games, if you want to. Of course, Utah beat Florida. This is ASU beat SUU by 3 points.
I know.
Southern Utah University.
ASU, they're like, yeah, us too. We won.
Guys. So we have to be honest. That's a loss. Lost.
A win's a win.
SUU came back and made that game kind of interesting, too.
That's not good.
That's not good.
ASU, but
yeah. It's good for us. But
it's a W. Stanford.
Hey.
Beat Hawaii.
Stanford.
What was the final of that?
37-24.
Stanford actually looked better than I expected them to.
Troy Taylor.
I know. I don't think they're going to be a foe in the conference, but they're going to win more games than I expected them.
Yeah. You have, Oregon destroyed Portland State. I mean, I get it. They're going to blow them out. Okay. How about 60-7?
I know.
55-7. It was 81, man.
81.
Oregon people, like, was it your third and just fourth string guys and they just kept scoring? I really want to know because I stopped watching it when it was 50-7. So when I finally saw the final score, I couldn't believe my eyes. Why'd you keep scoring?
Because they could.
Because you
not
could?
Not their job to stop scoring. It's Portland State's job.
Yeah, some guy's running the ball. They can't tackle you. I'm going to the end zone.
I get it. 81 points.
That's Oregon.
That's crazy.
Washington put a beat down on Boise State.
Yeah.
It took a while for Penix to get going.
I was a little surprised at the
final. He lit him up, though, dude.
Because Boise State's usually pretty good.
They pulled away with it.
But holy cow, Washington. We've been saying Washington's going to be very good.
Cal, they won 58-21. Who is UNT?
When was the last time Cal scored 58 points?
Probably never. Aaron Rodgers' days, maybe?
UNT.
I don't know. I don't know.
You've got SC beat Nevada.
Congrats.
North Texas. University of North Texas. All right.
Okay. UNT.
Good. And thank then Washington State killed Colorado State.
Yeah.
50-24. Arizona beat NAU 38-3. I mean,
As they should.
UCLA. Coastal Carolina, they beat him 27-13. That was a little closer
than I
thought, man.
I tuned into that, and I got to be honest, I was cheering against UCLA in that game. I was.
I was, too, to be honest with you.
I was.
Just the way it is. And then.
And then we have. Oh, my gosh.
Colorado beat TCU 45-42.
In the no defense bowl.
So.
That one shocked me. I obviously shocked by that.
I didn't think it was. I thought TCU would win, but I didn't think it was going to be a blowout.
I wanted TCU to win. I wanted TCU to blow them out.
I thought it was going to be a blowout. I will absolutely admit, I thought TCU was going to blow them out.
And
I admit I was a Colorado doubter. I never in a million years thought they would come out and look like that.
Okay. Can I?
No. You can't.
Colorado.
No. Travis Hunter, my gosh. The dude's not going to survive a whole season doing that.
That's unsustainable.
That's how I feel. But watching that guy.
He was incredible. What did he play, 118 snaps or something like that?
His interception.
Ridiculous.
Jog.
And then offensively.
That's a crappy throw, too.
But offensively, he was this close to a touchdown, too. That's the other thing is he didn't get it because he didn't have a security when he went out of bounds, but he almost had another touchdown, too. Yeah. He was all over the place. Is it sustainable? No. Over the course of 12 games.
No, I don't see how you do that whole season.
There's no way. You got to put him on defense because he's an incredible cornerback. So you put him on defense, But yeah, they were much better than I expected them to be.
Sanders had what, like 500
plus yards?
300 yards after catch, by the way.
Did they ever run the ball?
No.
And TCU did not run the ball.
But here's the thing. So
they actually did.
Colorado, I'm still have questions.
They gained 262
on the ground.
Colorado did?
Wow. No. TCU.
Oh, TCU did.
I have a lot of questions about Colorado's offensive and defensive lines. Their offensive line is very shaky, but they get the ball out very quick. So it's going to be, but hey, I will totally admit.
Clemson's losing, by the way.
Good. Good.
Aren't
Go
they ranked,
Duke, baby.
Yeah, like they're fifth? They're ranked ahead of us.
No, not fifth. LSU is fifth. What's Clemson ranked, everyone in the chat?
Tell us.
Tell me.
We're not watching.
Ninth.
Wow.
Love a good upset.
So I'm just saying, Colorado.
Week one.
Very surprised. Is it sustainable now that everything's on film? Now that their offense is on film? That's the big thing. They got talent. Man, they got talent.
Okay.
But
okay.
What's the O-line look like? What's the D-O-line look like? That's my biggest question.
The hype train is going 1,000 miles down the track. Okay?
Yeah, but
okay,
they...
can I talk?
No.
I'm going to talk, and then you can critique it. It's like going 1,000 miles an hour down the track throughout this freaking country. I get it. I watched the whole game. Okay? The offense, okay. They've got a good offense and a crappy defense.
He pushed a button on his computer, and now he doesn't know.
Football season is it? What did you do?
In his excitement.
Okay.
Okay, go ahead.
Let Gary cook. All right, Gary.
I'm cooking. I'm just saying, let's be real. Let's call it the way it is. At least the way I see it. Yeah, their offense was fantastic. You watched it. Okay, fine. But you gotta be honest on the other side of the ball as well. Their defense sucks.
Yeah, they couldn't stop anybody.
I mean, how many yards did they give up?
Well, and TCU, I think 80% of their offense was turnover. So this was the first game for 80% of TCU's offense, including the quarterback. So they're out there just throwing around. Threw two picks in the end zone, by the way.
Two picks at the end zone and missed the field goal. So I'm just saying, I will give props to their offense. I didn't see it to be this good, but it's week one. We're going to see. It was good for week one. It may be sustainable. I will go with it. But if we're going to say they're the greatest team on the face of the earth, after week one, you can't discount that defense sucked. I'll just say it was bad. And TCU, man, that guy threw two terrible throws in the end zone and missed the field goal.
This is not TCU of last year. Don't screw yourself up and think it's not. This is not a top 25 TCU team. It's just not.
It's so disappointing. But it's so disappointing, though. That's the team that made it to the national championship. You'd think you'd at least be able to
TCU's
stop
not Georgia.
Somebody.
TCU's not Georgia.
Well,
they're not
they
LSU.
Got,
they're not Bama.
Beat by 60 in the.
They are not next man up reload. They're just not. They don't have. So last year, they caught lightning in a bottle. They were way better than expected. Duggan wasn't even their starter. This other dude was their starter. He comes in, and all of a sudden, he's a Heisman caliber candidate, and they caught lightning in a bottle. 80% of the team leaves, and this new batch just isn't up. So,
okay, they beat a good team. I don't think they're nowhere near last year. I'm gonna give props to Colorado and all the. I mean, I guess when you are the suckiest, most terrible football team in all of America, one game,
that went
all of a sudden in 1 year. With all the hype train, and then they go to TCU and do this, I can see why the top blew off through the weekend and everybody's just out of their minds because they've been depressed for so long. But what it also shows me is if you really thought that they were, if you really believed, then why are you so crazy? Because if you believed, you don't have to go nuts because it's what you expected.
Yeah, because nobody expected it. That's why.
Because no one expected it. Everybody didn't expect to that level. I don't care if you're a Buff fan or not. I'm just saying it's week one. We can all calm the freak down.
Oh, my God.
Week one.
I get it. It's a long season. But you brought it up earlier. Colorado, in my mind, has just been an automatic win.
Not anymore.
I think for everybody. And talking about the Pac-12, I mean, it's the stacked league of quarterbacks and offense, and suddenly now you got to throw Colorado in there.
What's
too.
Their schedule? I got to pull their schedule up because I think that
they will lose some games.
Oh, absolutely. They play Nebraska this week, and that alone, I'm very curious because Nebraska is the opposite of TCU. Good defense and questionable offense. So it's going to be very interesting to see how that works out.
It's a long season, but yeah, you think, okay, USC, Washington, Oregon, Washington State, Oregon State, Utah. We were like, oh, and UCLA. Okay, those are the offensive firepower. I know.
First week of September, it goes all the way through November.
Oh, really?
Everybody just needs to pump the brakes for everybody. That's me. That's all I'm saying.
Here's the one good thing about
one
of the good things about Colorado is, do you think Crybaby Caleb was upset that all this spotlight's been on Shador all weekend?
Probably.
Okay, here's my question. A question to everybody
and chatting. Travis Hunter,
on the chat, and for you. Here's the question. As of right now.
They're going to beat Nebraska.
Of right now, do you want USC or Colorado to win?
When they play each other? Colorado.
Do you really? I am perplexed, man.
When I sit down and start watching it, then I will know. But both
you're
teams,
not going to be cheering for USC. When do they play each other?
In 2 weeks. So they play this week Nebraska, Colorado State. Then they play Oregon, SC, back to back. They do play UCLA. They do play Washington State. Oregon State, they play us. So they got some teams, dude.
Everybody's saying Colorado. Yeah, I would have said Colorado until this weekend and all of the hype and all the stuff that's being said, and I got to jump on, I got to believe, I got to do all of this crap. When they start doing that,
it turns me off.
No, you're going to be cheering for Colorado.
Turning me off, man.
Because USC will be undefeated. They're going undefeated their first half of the schedule. Of course you're going to cheer for
Colorado. It's turning me off.
Hold on.
Just get, you know what? I'm on the train now, Gary.
Oh, no, you're not. Don't say that.
Get on the train.
I am not going to follow you. Oh, God.
You're going to want Colorado because Colorado's going to lose a few games throughout the season. USC's not necessarily. And so you add up and then we beat USC on the road. That's two losses for them. That really helps us out. You'll be cheering for Colorado.
Okay, so in that regard,
logically,
is to help us logically. Okay, throw that out.
No,
I'm talking about the emotional thing now. After all you're hearing of the past weekend,
everything over the last 24 hours, even
I'm not enamored with them.
When I turn that on, and
I don't even like their Buffalo anymore.
I do. I like Ralphie.
I love
and they're
Buffalo.
Kicking
don't
off.
Don't take it out on the Buffalo.
I'll be cheering. Colorado that game. I have to. I cannot cheer for Caleb Williams. I can't do it. There's no way. I know myself.
Yeah,
the second he goes back there, runs around, and then completes a 60-yard pass, I'm going to go, nope,
yeah.
Go Buffs is what I'm going to do.
Gary doesn't like nature.
I love nature, man.
Okay,
why I've recanted. I like the Buffalo again.
He likes the Buffalo. He's full of it. What other games? Texas Tech. There was a Texas Tech fan in the chat
Texas
earlier.
Tech.
What happened?
Go Pokies, baby.
Big 12.
I get it. When you go up to freaking Laramie, it's rough.
We're going Laramie there, by the rough. Way, in 2025 or something.
What the heck is that?
We got to get out of that.
But Texas Tech, serious. Gosh, dang, man.
Double overtime. I was glued to it.
And I turned it on just going, okay.
Steve Searle said Dabo just lost to a basketball school.
You know what? Love it. Dabo.
I know. We're not a big Dabo fan.
He's probably like freaking throwing stuff and yelling at everybody
absolutely.
As he runs back up the hill.
was it in Clemson?
Was it at Clemson? I think it was.
I didn't see any of it.
I actually don't remember. I don't know.
Dabo just lost to a basketball school.
Goober Doo, are you Texas Tech?
What's
going on, buddy? How you feeling?
Oh,
you had a rough. You had a rough weekend.
The Big 12
at Duke.
It was at Duke.
Wow.
That's rough, Dabo.
Okay, well then let's talk about LSU and Florida State.
Dang, Florida State.
Florida State is one of the top two teams right now.
No.
Oh.
LSU's so overrated.
I'm not saying top. I'm top team, but I can't say top two.
Top four?
Yeah, I could see 4 to 5 in that range.
I mean, obviously, I'm saying right now. It's all got to play out. But dang, that was a fun game.
They look freaking good. They got rolling, man.
They got rolling.
Right. I mean, it was close. Everyone, they were sticking together. But then Florida State just ran away with it.
Yeah, they really did.
Made some plays.
They made some mistakes, too. That's what's crazy is they made some mistakes and still blew out LSU.
So Jayden,
LSU was ranked 5th.
Uh-huh.
Florida State was ranked 8th, right?
LSU wasn't as good.
No, LSU.
Good.
No.
FSU was better. I don't know what you think about Jayden Daniels.
What he got.
But I will, when he got pancaked. But what I would say about this, he made the most, I got to give him props for his decision to get out of ANSU.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
You got to give him props for that.
He gets out, goes to LSU.
Uh-huh.
And is winning football games, and you're like,
he's had an awesome career.
In the SEC.
Yeah.
Playing good ball, really.
Yeah. Overall.
Before ASU just gone.
Yeah, watching it last night, I said to my husband, I was like, I can't believe that guy has done as well as he's done.
No. I'm really surprised.
He's done well for himself.
He left the dumpster fire of ANSU and has done really, really well for himself. So I'm impressed by that.
I am too. He actually... He made some plays, but then who's the QB?
Travis?
Travis.
Florida State?
Florida State. Guy's good, man.
He is not getting nearly enough love for the Heisman.
He was calm, making plays.
I'm telling you right now.
He can throw.
He
liked him.
Makes really good decisions. He's fun to watch.
That was a fun game to watch.
It was a fun game to watch. Okay.
All right, are we...
Any other game?
Wrapping up.
Hold on. Oh. Penn State, real quick. Did you watch any of the Penn State?
I didn't see any of it.
Penn State, West Virginia. It was closer than I expected. Penn State's really, really good.
Their QB.
Really good. Penn State's really good.
He was good.
I know a lot of Utah fans. I had great experiences with the Penn State fans at the Rose Bowl. I don't cheer for them the same way that I kind of half root for Ohio State. I don't know why. But Penn State, they're a top five team in my opinion.
I'd love to see Penn State.
Take
the Big Ten. I'd love to see them upset the two top dogs and win the Big Ten. That'd be exciting.
Penn State, Ohio State, Michigan. Those three, those are great games. Boy.
Yeah.
Okay, to conclude, we used to have an award. We haven't done it for a while, but we're now resurrecting it, and it's now coming back for a week to be part of the show weekly.
Weekly award.
And it's... I won't say what it used to be called because some of you who've been with us for several years know, but now what it's called, it's the Jackass Award. And Bryn, do you want to present the Jackass?
I'll present it.
Okay, Bryn is going to present the Jackass Award.
I'll present. You can give your nominees in the chat if you want, but our Jackass of the Week goes to, his name is Josh Newman, and he's a local sports guy here in Salt Lake. The reason he's getting the Jackass Award is because on Wednesday, 24 hours before the Utah-Florida game, he decides to go online and break the news that Cam Rising isn't playing. I don't know who his source is. I don't know where he got the information from. But he thought he was the coolest thing to ever happen to the universe and decided to go on social media and break this news. You just handed the game plan to our opponent. That was like the most well-kept secret. And you know, being someone who's a sports reporter and a sports fan, you know how tightly they were holding that secret to not say who was going to play quarterback against Florida. And you decide 24 hours before.
Just let everyone will click on your story. It's all about getting the clicks.
To get your clicks.
He was just starting a podcast.
Uh-huh. He was starting a podcast.
Everyone come listen.
Everyone go listen. Yeah. You're handing the game plan to the opponent. I thought it was garbage. Your own self-interest. What makes you so special that you go out there and break that news? I don't know.
I'll just say.
It rubbed me so the wrong way. I thought it was such a dick move.
Newman's the reason. Newman
Wait
is.
Wait a minute. What did you say?
Didn't move.
He's the reason that Whittingham doesn't let media in the practices. That kind of stuff. Like, have a little, like, look. I've got the story. I've got to tell everybody. I got news for you. Us three have known things about the Utah program that nobody else has known.
And we'll never say
I'll never bring, because it's not my business to bring it up. It's not my prerogative to come out and say, guess what, everybody? I know this cool thing. Like, to come out 24 hours beforehand, it's just, it's a beat me move.
I get that he's trying, he wants people to go to, I get it, but it's a jerk move.
It was.
I can't spill the beans,
buddy.
If
it was me, if I was Whittingham, I would tell my media department, say, rescind all of his
credentials.
He's never gonna be at practice at the end. Interview me, interview anybody again. He's done as long as I'm the coach. Because that kind of stuff, because that was the number one question. We all had inclinations.
We all thought it was going that direction.
But we had differences because it was not official. But this doofus comes out, well, I've got it. No, right. That's pathetic.
And Florida,
that's the jackass of the week.
Florida didn't know definitively who to plan for. We all thought, but they didn't know for sure. So then he puts it out there 24 hours. You give them 24 hours to absolutely prepare for Barnes. It was...
For him, it was all about himself. That's... Yeah. Gosh.
Fortunately, it didn't mean anything because Barnes played well. Money Parks is
tall,
the
tall
man.
Guy says it was the Florida guy that posted about our little ass stadium.
That was funny.
It's funny.
You know what, though?
It's actually...
I mean,
he's well roasted.
I think he got his just desserts, but...
So Wendy reminded us we need to give predictions. Everybody in chat, give us your predictions. Give us the score for this week. And that'll be. And then we're done for this week.
31-17. Utah.
Gosh, dang it, James.
That's the benefit of going first.
32.
Oh, gall.
I can't say 17 because you just said that. That's what's in my brain. I can't say 14 because I chose 14 last week. 14. 32-14. Why the heck not?
I go in 31-21 Utah.
Okay.
31-21 Utah. What was yours?
32-14.
And you were 31.
31-17.
17. All right. Well, there we go, y'all.
81-7. I'd take it.
I'm 81. That would be so sweet. 35-10 Utah. Let's see. We've got 28-14. He's being serious. I hope you know something.
I would love if we scored 81.
All right,
points.
Ute fans, we love you. Thanks for joining us. Thanks for engaging. And go Utes.
Go Utes. I like these score predictions.
Good, they're nice.
Oh, Texas Tech guy.
Oh.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.